Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from live from the studios of KKNW here at 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. I think this is going to be a wonderful and very interesting year for everyone, and I think that the planet has shifted into the positive. And I think we're going to be seeing some really wonderful changes ahead of us. The purpose of this program, of course, is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle and Puget Sound area and the fastest growing radio show, spiritual and metaphysical radio show in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. Today's show will be really special because during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing one of my favorite people, James von Prague. He's on the line now. He's a famous medium and a psychic, and he's just so much fun to have on the show. He'll be on in just a few minutes. During the second hour, I'll be having another interesting gentleman named Townsend Fairmont. Now, he's experienced in transcendental meditation. He'll be telling you about how you can use meditation to go in the fourth and higher dimensions. He's also going to talk about a time travel experience he had some decades ago, which he stepped into a new golden age that is now happening on the Earth. He says it'll be happening in the very near future. He's a fascinating gentleman, and he'll be on for the second hour. I really appreciate everyone's support for this program because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program entirely supported by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And for anyone who donates at least $25 today, I'll be happy to give them a good reading. If you like, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me at 509-750-9793. I also have a new spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their loved ones and spirits on the other side. And if you're interested in that, please send me an email or give me a call. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially Faison and Shirley in Florida, Caroline in England, Angela in Beverly in Texas, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Eli in Texas, Marku in Finland, Helsinki, Finland, Judith in California, Emma Louise and Jan Erik in Norway, Marie and Alan, Communal Island, Robert, Julian, Louise in Bellevue, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Darren in Olympia, Washington. I have a whole bunch of people here. It'll take me a while, but I just want to thank everyone so much for all their support and help, and I couldn't do this program without your support. I also want to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience of over 100,000 people in over 60 countries for your goods and services. I want to thank my dear friend Carol's been designing my website and providing wonderful support. My friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and the Emoto Peace Project Emoto Office in Tokyo, Japan, and my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, as well as my angelic and earthly family, and as well as my wonderful sound producer here, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I also want to ask everyone to please send lots of love and light and prayers to Masako Yoshida. She's Michiko's mother in Japan. She had a stroke a couple days ago. And please send her lots of love and light. I know that'll help. Another friend of mine, Robert Perella, in the Los Angeles area, also is having surgery this week. And if you could please send him some love and light as well. I know his surgery will go well, but the prayers always do help. I want to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Conference in June of 2016. We're having another conference coming up on March 10, 11, and 12 in 2017. And following the conference on March 14th and 15th, I'll be bringing in one of the world's most famous Hado therapists from Tokyo, Japan, a gentleman named Dr. Yoshi, who will be selling Hado machines and also giving Hado treatments. If you'd like more information, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Or just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The first day is free on the March 10, and then the other 2 days are $197. The Hado sessions will be separate, but please email me if you need more information. Scott Lemriel will be there, as well as Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project, Dr. Yoshi, the Hado therapist. I've also invited Jim Mars to the conference. Jerry Pollock, a famous water scientist from the University of Washington, will also be there. And Simon Parks will be there by Skype as well. And we have a whole bunch of other people that are coming as well. And I hope you can attend. This is going to be an incredible experience. Also, I'm sponsoring a free event at the Washington RV and Event Center in Olympia at 9101 Stillicum Road, called the Cosmic Awareness Fair on January 21st. There will be over 20 different vendors, including psychics, astrologers, crystal sellers, tarot, and aura photography readers. And I'll also be giving a presentation on Dr. Moto's Messages from Water at 1 p.m. Admission is free. And for more information, just send me an email. Next week as well, I'll be a guest of the Dominur spiritual community outside Turin, Italy. And the show next week, 1 week from today, will be broadcast live from Italy. We will have people on from Dominur as well as some other fascinating folks. It's an incredible place. They actually are run by psychics who help determine the spiritual direction of the community. And it's very different than our election process here in the United States, of course. But it should be a fascinating show. There's a whole bunch of other events coming up, including February 10th to 12th. I'll be at the Mind Body Spirit Expo in Los Angeles at the LAX Hilton. As well as my Galactic Wisdom Conference in March. In August, I'll be at two different conferences. I'll be in Montreal for the second week of August, giving presentations there, and then finally the last week in August will be at the third annual Peace and Light Conference in the Dominican Republic. Now, if you can come to this other conference in the Dominican Republic, it's an incredible experience. They have some very world famous people coming there. It's the conference itself is designed to raise consciousness and create a beautiful, peaceful planet. I was fortunate enough to go last year. I've been invited back again this year. And if you are in the area or can come to the Dominican Republic, it's an incredibly beautiful place. And it's one conference you will not want to miss. Finally, there's another conference. There's all these conferences happening. There's another conference happening the 9th, 10th, and 11th in Costa Rica, which I've also been invited to. They've also invited the former prime minister or president of Costa Rica. And I've also been told that representatives from the Dalai Lama will also be attending. So that's another peace conference as well. For information on these conferences, please send me an email, or I hope to have some information posted on the website this coming week. And finally, Out of This World Television is now airing three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 in Olympia, Washington. All the shows are available on YouTube under my name or Out of This World Television. And with that, I'd like to bring on James von Prague, and talk about his wonderful new book that he just published and a whole bunch of other things. James, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you to all your listeners, and a Happy New Year to all of them as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, James, you've written so many fascinating books. I first became interested in you in your work with your Talking to Heaven book, and then you wrote additional books after that. You've just come out with a new book. Could you tell my listeners about that, please?
Yes, the new book is called The Power of Love: Connecting to the Oneness.
Beautiful.
And I tell people that it really took me 35 years to write this book. Mm-hmm. Because without doing the work that I do, I wouldn't have had the material. I wouldn't have really known about this, as you know, the vibration of frequency that holds it all together. And as a medium, the messages that come through are made from love, pure love. That's how they're able to come through, is the love from the person, the spirit world, and the recipient. And it is really that energy that I wanted to convey to people on the earth, that how we can use that energy, how we can use that force in all different areas of our life and have a very happy and content and fulfilled life if we use that energy. So that really is what the book is about, The Power of Love.
How beautiful. You know, in my research last year, I ran across Professor Albert Einstein's letter called The Bomb of Love. And he said, James, that if he had to do it over again, he would have created a bomb of love that would have created peace and harmony on the planet rather than destruction.
Wouldn't that be awesome? So beautiful? That's so beautiful. I it's funny because recently, I would say about 2 months ago, somehow how these things, as you know, how they work out, I had a phone call from a lady who was doing a book on this subject, on metaphysics, the mediumship, and psychics, actually. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned to me along the conversations, as you know, when you have like-minded people that you speak to, you just enjoy it because it's rare to find like-minded people sometimes.
Right.
And she was saying that during her research, a psychic called her from the East Coast who channeled Einstein. And Einstein came to her very recently and told her these details about love, the energy of love, and so forth, and the frequencies. And she conveyed this to this woman who's writing this book. And there were details that he was talking about that sure enough found out were validated.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, believe it or not, this lady, the psychic that called up this woman, didn't know anything about this woman, but Einstein came through and gave her the phone number of this woman writing the book.
That's amazing.
Incredible. So these things happen. Magic happens every day if we just open up our mind to those possibilities. That's all it is, possibilities, isn't it?
Well, it is, James. And actually, I've been buried the last couple of weeks. I've been working on my own book. It's called Messages from the Masters and includes messages from Professor Einstein. I've been talking to him for about 2 years now. And
wow.
I just finished the book 3 days ago, so now I have to catch up on all my emails. I'm leaving for Italy on Sunday.
There's our validation. There it is, validation.
Yeah, he came through, and he, James, he loves your work. He loves you.
Oh,
he loves your work.
Thank you.
He thinks it's fantastic. He says this is just what the planet needs. And, interesting you mentioned. Actually, he likes to be called Professor Einstein because it says it's impolite to call people by their last name. So
isn't that interesting? That's
so
great.
I'm just saying. I always like to.
It's so interesting, Ted, that so many people, they ask me this. I'm sure they ask you as well.
Yeah.
Like when you pass to the other side of life, do you just stop? And the truth is, no, you continue. And just like Professor Einstein,
right.
he continues to raise the consciousness, to bring up the awareness to this planet and other planets.
Right.
I'm sure he's still beyond, of course, our awareness, but a galactic being or a light worker of many levels. And I'm sure there'd be interest, of course, to continuing to help the planet. A lot of us do that.
Yeah.
We continue to help from beyond this world when we pass over. It happens all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the entities that I came across about 2 years ago, James, was Jack Kennedy. He likes to be called Jack Kennedy or Professor Kennedy because he says that if you call him President Kennedy, it brings up connotations of his assassination. But
interesting.
Yeah, he's continuing his work on the other side. And all the spirits I've been talking to, actually, they're headed up. It's a group headed up by Professor Einstein. They're working on a spirit phone to connect the other side with us here so that third dimensional beings like ourselves could call up loved ones or great spirits on the other side as easy as it is to dial a phone number today in the future. And he says that in 5 or 10 years it will be possible to do that.
Oh, I believe that. I know they've been working on that for quite a while. I don't know if they call it Life Stream or there was something where they were working with electronic voice phenomena.
Oh yeah.
And you know, they were trying to get the images. So I know that they've been working on it for a long time to get that vibration in.
Oh yeah, and it's here. And you know, one thing I have to tell you, James, the entire studio now has lit up in this beautiful white light since you've been on, and I think the spirits have all have all come in here to say hello to you. So they're all here.
Great.
It's rather crowded here today.
Good. Oh, good.
Yeah. Well. But, you know, one thing that I've noticed is that the planet itself, the vibration, I've been told I've read where the frequency rate of this planet has gone from something like 7 hertz back maybe 5 or 10 years ago to almost double, 13 now.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I have heard that as well.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense when more people are open-minded and changing their own frequency, it's going to have an effect on the overall space.
Right.
So that makes complete sense.
And as the frequency of the planet changes and it gets higher, goes higher, James, I think it'll be easier for people to contact spirits on the other side, even easier than it is now.
I agree with you because, you know, this book, The Power of Love, which is, it's that energy. If we just, it's so funny, in this three-dimensional physical world, we get caught up in the illusion. We call this the illusionary world, as you know.
Right.
And it's the matter world, the physical world. But really, we are love beings. As souls, we are loving light. And the more we can connect with the awareness of just being who we are, which is loving spiritual beings, not the physical part of us. That's just this little box that we're in, the suitcase, if you will, of the soul. And the more people just open themselves up to who they truly are, which is love, all these things can happen on the planet. And we can change things. Like in your introduction, And you're talking about sending prayers to your friends and these people.
Right.
It's so true. Thoughts are things. Thoughts are real energy. When spirit come around, they talk about the thoughts that are around people. Thoughts are, they see the thought with colors, with densities. And if people can only see the thoughts that are sent out, my goodness, wouldn't they be more responsible for what they send out?
Right.
So thoughts are real, for sure.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that we've got some beautiful times ahead of us, James. There was a post the other day on the internet, Facebook, showing these energy waves hitting the planet, and scientists don't know where they're coming from, but I personally think they're from the Supreme Being, and they're raising. I think the net effect of this is, of course, they're raising the vibration of this
yeah.
planet to a much higher level than it already is.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that I don't think we're going to have a third world war, Armageddon. I think we could have had one years ago, but the timeline has changed now to a much more positive timeline.
Yes, true, very true.
Yeah. Well, tell me, James, more about your Power of Love book. Your publicist said they would send it out, but I guess they've been back ordered. I called today, and I'll get it after the show. But
okay,
yeah. So well, I wanted to talk about it. But
that's fine. It's really because a lot of people have often asked me about how to live a more positive spiritual life, and I say, but love is really the way to do it. So
right.
I've broken up the book into three different parts. The first part, of course, with the energy of love, and how you do that. Number one, loving yourself. Learn how to love yourself, the true essence of who you are, and remembering, as I just said, remember that you are a beautiful spiritual being having a human experience, not
right.
the other way around.
Right.
So I talk about in the book the first part, self-love, loving yourself, how to not give away your power, because so many of us give away our power.
Mm-hmm.
We often many times want to be what someone else wants us to be
right.
in order to receive love from our parents or accepted by society. We behave a certain way or act a certain way or become something that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, we'll never be happy.
Right.
When we are true to who we are, our own unique self, that's when you can really have a full life.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about that in the beginning of the book. And I also talk about how you can restore your power, because so many people tend to give their power away to other people. And it's really, so many people don't realize that when they speak to somebody or they interact with somebody, they're leaving a little bit of their energy, their power with that person or that situation. So I talk about in the first part of the book how to regain that energy, bring back that power to yourself and replenish yourself, not deplete yourself. It's very, very important. And I also talk about responsibility, where we have, I often say, Ted, that life is a series of choices, and all choices are based upon two things, either love or fear. That's
oh,
it.
Sure, right, right.
Right?
That's
so
true.
There's nothing more than love or fear.
That's right.
And it's just having that sense of responsibility of love or fear. I often say, like a radio station, what are you aligned to? What station are you tuned into?
Right.
Are you tuned into that very fast vibration of love, or 106.7, or fear, which is, 88.2, or whatever. And where do you find yourself?
Right.
So I'll talk a lot about that in the book, and being responsible for your own space, where you're gonna place yourself.
Beautiful.
So, yes, and many
beautiful.
Different types of things. I also talk about playing the game of life, how everything is energy, and being aware that how thoughts are real things, and how to create a certain mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And by creating a certain mindset, then, of course, we become that mindset. We become what we think. And just aligning your energy, really. It's a lot of things, making decisions in life, acceptance, accepting yourself, surrendering. I say a lot in the book about interacting with other people. We tend to judge other people many times. We first interact with someone, we'll judge them. And because through the love or fear, many people might judge another person because they are fearful of that other person. They want to feel secure, and they want to have control of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel if they can judge another, then they're in control of the situation.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Which is really an illusion, because you never can control another person. Well, you can control are your thoughts and how you're going to react to that other person's experience, but you can't make that person be a certain way or do a certain thing. You can't control them.
Right.
But you can control how you respond to their behavior or their interaction with you. So I talk a lot about that in the book as well.
Well, that's so beautiful, James. I hope everyone out there can get a copy of James's new book. And one of the distinctions that I've learned about in the galaxy is that there's a distinction between civilizations burned based upon service to self and other civilizations based upon service to others. the service to self. Civilizations tend to be negative, tyrannical, not very positive, but the service to self civilizations tend to be positive and based on love and harmony. And I think we're becoming that, actually. And your book...
Well, it's exactly right. Self, I just read this yesterday. It's funny you say this. I read this somewhere yesterday, but self really... And it's the difference between being involved in being selfish or being like in the ego and caring about yourself and not caring about others. That's a very different thing than being ego, full of your ego, loving yourself. It's a very different thing for people. But it's true because you're... When you're outgoing, when you try to be, I often think it's very much, Ted, and maybe you can speak to this as well, where when you are all about selfishness or trying to do things for yourself, you kind of break the alignment. You kind of separate. You're falling into separation.
That's true.
But when you work for others or connect with that oneness, like the subtitle of my book, Connected to Oneness, when you realize that we're all connected and that we have that oneness and you live your life accordingly to help another, help another's life, to help them evolve, help them to learn about compassion and understanding or teaching them that, then it opens up the space. And there's an evolvement, and the frequency, of course, is higher. So definitely that distinction is definitely there.
This brings up a fascinating question, and it's one that I talked to my dad at length about after he passed on about 16, 17 years ago. He said that once you pass over, James, and I'm sure you know a lot about this, you gain access to universal truth and universal knowledge in the fifth and higher dimensions.
Correct. That is right.
And you also tie into this oneness with everyone, so that if you serve others, you're basically serving yourself because we're all one.
Correct.
And the contrast to that is also true. If you hurt someone, if you say something, if you attack someone negatively, then you're actually hurting yourself because you're hurting that energy because we are all one.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And my friend Olivia just recently passed over, and she had a stroke, and she wanted to free herself of the body, and she did. Mm-hmm. And she came and we were together for many, many years in our spiritual paths, and we've been for over 30 years.
Wow.
And I was driving my car, literally, and she popped right in front of me in my mind's eye, and she said, "I'm out of the body." And I said, "Oh, don't tell me you're dead." She goes, "No, I'm not the dead one, but you are. All those humans are dead. They don't see things clearly."
Goodness.
Went on for days after that when I was just channeling and automatic writing. And she said, "Let me show you what it was like." And she said, and she brought my mind to a space where it was like going to a theater.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "It's like walking into the screen of the theater, and everything is alive. The flowers are alive. The colors are vivid and singing, and everything is harmony. And it's so beautiful." And she goes, "And then I look back to the audience, and they're all the dead ones."
Oh, no.
And she said to me, she said, "You need to tell all your people that thoughts are real." She goes, when I first came over here, she said, "I was met by all the people in my life that I had an influence on, whether it was a little influence, like smiling at them or doing acts or interacting with them in some way." She said, "You get met by every single person, the good, the bad. They're all there."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "The other thing that meets you are all the conditions that you created with your thoughts that you gave life to, good, bad, or indifferent." And the other thing she said, which I've heard many, many times from Spirit, was that, of course, the first people that will greet you are the ones you wronged in the lifetime.
Oh,
and
interesting.
The wonderful golden rule, which I think is the way it is, treat another as you want to be treated, because we are all connected. We are all that one energy.
Right.
So, but as you said, as you treat someone in a negative way, you are affecting your own energetic self. No doubt about it.
I want to bring in Nostradamus now, because I've been talking to him for the last couple of years.
And
there was a book, a series of books written, I'm sure you know her, Dolores Cannon, before she passed away.
I love Dolores. She's a good friend of mine, and she was great, and her work was incredible.
Was it incredible?
Very much so.
Well, I'm sure you know about this series. It's called Conversations with Nostradamus. It's a three-volume set published in, I think, 86 to 88, 89. And there they contacted as a group Nostradamus back in the 15th century. And what was fascinating is that in that work, Nostradamus wanted to get the word out that his quatrains had been misinterpreted and that there was a Third World War coming starting in the 90s in the Balkans, and a full-blown war here in the United States by the 2012 in that area, 2014. Well, last time I checked, it's 2017, James, and it's peaceful up here in Seattle. It's a beautiful day. people are going about their work, and I don't see any war up here. And I think that he said in my conversations with him recently, he said the timeline has completely changed from one of negativity and a third world war and Armageddon to one that's not. It's just not going to happen. We have a very bright, beautiful future ahead of us, according to Nostradamus.
Wow! Well, that's wonderful. Wonderful to know. That's wonderful to know.
Yeah, yeah. And he just came in now. He wants to give you a message, James. It's because of your work in raising consciousness about people, souls don't die and they live on the other side. In your new book about the power of love, that has helped turn. I mean, all of us light workers working together here on the planet has turned the planet around, so that we're not going to have the doom and gloom. End of the world kind of scenario that some people thought actually I think we were on that track, but then people decided that they didn't want that to happen, and all of us light workers and you in particular, James, we all work together to change that to a different beautiful time path.
Thank you. I acknowledge that. Thank you very much. That's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the studio's gotten much lighter now too. There are. And the angels are around, it always gets much lighter, and the sun's out, and the clouds are going away. It's a pretty, pretty day up here. It's cold, but it's pretty. Sunshine's gorgeous.
Beautiful area in the world.
It is. Well, here's something interesting, James. I didn't realize this, but some of my psychic friends, we have the most interesting out-of-this-world conversations, said that about 12,500 years ago, when Atlantis blew itself up and Lemuria went underneath the ocean, there was a part of Lemuria that actually ended up on the West Coast. And guess where it came from? It went to California into southern British Columbia.
And I believe that. Mm-hmm. It also went to Tahiti.
Ah,
because one of the islands is Morea.
Uh-huh.
And in French, Lemuria is really what in French, Lemuria and Morea.
Uh-huh.
And when you go there, also, you feel that energy for sure. I've been there several times. It's one of the only places in the world that I really feel connected on such a soul level. And, yeah, the Lemurian energy for sure. It took up a big place, big space, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me.
Well, I when I do readings, sometimes I will run into people, channel and run into that energy, and they're here. When you first started out in your journey, did you ever get ridiculed for talking to the other side or have problems with that? Or
when I first started, and it probably was the late 80s, I was in Los Angeles, and I was working a regular job, a corporation job for Paramount Pictures, actually, in a legal department. And I could not deny the visions and the information I was receiving.
Right.
I received it as a child. I used to have visions and clairvoyance and clairsentience. And I started having it again when I started meditating in the 80s, just as a matter of things happened.
Right.
And I would tell people at work certain things about loved ones that had passed over and made sense. And many people thought it was interesting and incredible. And I remember doing it. I had to do it, to make a long story short, full time. I quit my corporation job because Spirit said, we want to work with you full time, and we want to help to help heal the planet, and we're going to do that through the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And it was interesting because then I did readings, and I was booked up many months or years ahead without even being known, it was all word of mouth.
Uh-huh.
And it was so interesting because when I went public with the work I do as a medium, there really weren't many people in the television world out there in the television networks that were on television that did this work.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably one of the first mediums ever to be on television. And that's when I really got the ridicule from skeptics, I would say. That's the first part with the skeptics who would just say, oh, this guy is doing what's called cold reading, which I didn't even know what the meaning was. And the scientists came out. And it was so interesting because I knew I had to take the bullets. I knew I had to be in the trenches and open up the door for other people later on, other light workers later on. But I knew that I came back for this, to open up the door, if you will, to that consciousness.
Sure.
And it was really interesting. When I went to this medium from England named Brian Hurst.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first came to Los Angeles, and I didn't know anything about mediumship. I knew nothing really about the psychic world. A friend of mine brought me to a session with him, and I didn't really believe in it per se. I was an open-minded, skeptical person. And one of the first things Brian Hurst said to me when he looked at me, he said, "You're going to help change the consciousness of the planet." They're telling me that.
Beautiful.
And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I moved to Los Angeles to be a sitcom writer.
Oh,
and he said, no, they're telling me you're going to help change the consciousness. And I thought this guy was crazy.
Uh-huh.
But now, of course, looking back, it's like 100% of what exactly happened. I would have never, of course, humanly planned for it. But, of course, now I know on that spiritual level, I definitely came back at the space and time to do that. And it's very interesting, Ted, because I believe I've worked a lot with past life regression. And one of the most prominent past lives that I had, when I asked Spirit, show me a past life, mm-hmm. and I saw myself, and my face, my mustache, my eyes were the same. But the only thing that changed were the clothes I was wearing.
Uh-huh.
And in every lifetime, I was a general in a war.
Really?
It was really interesting that the soul kept on repeating this whole character, if you will, that I was always a general in a war, always responsible for telling my men when to go in and kill people.
Oh, my goodness.
And now I came back in this lifetime in a very, very well-known position, being well-known around the world, and I'm now responsible for helping people about death, to heal them about death, helping heal millions about death. So it's very interesting that I came back and cleared what you wanted to clear, that karma of all those past lives, and also brought the healing back to the planet from all the times that there wasn't healing. And now I can't even have anything to do with wars or guns, anything like that. I just have an abhorrence to it. I can't take that.
You look.
So that's so interesting.
That is such an amazing story, James, because you look at the last century, and you certainly had, during your life, you certainly had lots of opportunities to go off to war, you know. All kinds of wars everywhere.
Many in different little countries. And
true. And but Professor Einstein now is saying that you've become a general of the kind of general that he would have liked to have done if he hadn't created created the atomic bomb, of course, which was destruction. You've now become a general of love in the war of love, ordering people to go out and love each other. That's your new mission.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's
very interesting. I was just in Germany, and I was doing some work in Hanover,
mm-hmm.
and a lady who was very clairvoyant, she said, you know, you were a general in past lives. You're a general. I said, yes. She goes, and you're a little general in this one because the way you behave in the course I was teaching,
uh-huh.
and she said, you want people to get it. You're a commander, and it's very, mm-hmm. very true. Just mm-hmm. want people to get it for sure.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, tell me, James. I wanted to ask you, what do your spirit friends say about now and the future for this year for the United States and beyond? Just always curious to ask about the future.
I have not actually. I've been on vacation because I've been so busy during the year that I take 2 weeks off, and I haven't really tuned into it at
mm-hmm,
all
mm-hmm.
About what's going to be going on. So.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone there yet.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
But I like what you say, that things are going to be beautiful and healing and light this year. I'd like to think that. I think there'll be some wonderful opportunities for people to become more conscious, to become more aware, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that those opportunities will show themselves. I think there'll be redefining of countries as well, about boundaries and lines. And I have a feeling there'll be some, I don't know what that means, but I have a feeling there's going to be redefining the lines or territories or boundaries of countries.
This
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
This brings to mind what Nostradamus told Dolores Cannon back in the late 80s. Not everything. Well, one of the things that he told Nostradamus told Dolores Cannon back then was that the earth would become one, but it would become one after this kind of Armageddon, this World War III. There's not going to be a World War III now. But we're still on track to become a one planet, and what he mentioned was that he visualized a joint space mission out beyond this planet, and there were people from all these different countries on board the craft, and because they recognized each other as one, one of the really beautiful things that I think's happened here in the United States is that, of course, in the 1960s we had a lot of civil rights. Protests and burning and rioting and looting. But I think, you know, we're still, the society itself here in the United States is not perfect, but I think we've come a long way since then toward accepting people for each other, for who they are, regardless of race, creed, or color. I you know, we have problems still, but it's better. I think it's much better than it was back then.
Yes, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comes through a lot with me is Edgar Cayce.
He
comes through on a regular basis with me.
Oh, yeah.
And and works quite a bit with me. And I always love when he comes through and talks about, he often talks about conditions, the conditions of the mind of people. And that's the word that's often used with him, conditions. And I like that word. I like the word conditions because it's as if there's a blank screen and we can create that our reality is based upon those thoughts that we give, the conditions of the mind. So when you bring that sense of love, if you will, and the connectedness, the oneness, that we step into that, like my book's Connect to the Oneness, we step into the oneness of everything, that pure love, you really can create the environment that you want. And then when you get the realization of that love, I think then we're responsible for helping each other to get to that point. That's why you and I are doing this work, to help each other, to remind them who they truly are.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know? I was just wondering, I don't know if Mr. Casey's busy right now, but if you don't, I don't know and how long it takes for to contact him, but I'd love to ask him a question if you could bring him on now, unless he's busy, if he's traveling or maybe having lunch or dinner, reading a book.
What's the question?
Well, the question is about Russia's role with the U.S. You know, there's been, I've just always been curious. I think Putin is doing a good job in Russia, and I'm just curious about what kind of, because he had a prophecy about Russia in the United States, and I can't remember it now, but he did talk about that during his lifetime.
I just get a sense of Russia to be more become is role is to become for America is to become more aware of each other and to work together.
Good.
And you know, it's a very big. I hear him just always say about healing because it's a healing country. Mm-hmm. It's a space of healing there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of major healers there, and that energy is going to be used to bring the world those countries together. That's what I'm hearing, healing together.
Beautiful, beautiful. I have a lot of people listening now from Russia. I don't speak Russian, but I want to say thank you so much for listening today to all my listeners in Russia. I know there's a lot of people listening from Russia today.
Beautiful country. I've been there at St. Petersburg, but I've definitely had past life connections there without a doubt. And Rasputin, I knew Rasputin somehow. I knew him.
Wow.
He was an amazing, magical, spiritual being who could really change molecular structures of things, and I really related to him. When I was over there in St. Petersburg, I went to the building where he lived, and I knew where certain things were. I knew where certain rooms were, and I just was a part of that energy. So I agree with you. I think Russia is a very powerful spiritual place. I think it really is. I think that more of that. I think that's becoming more and more aware this year. Of that energy be coming out, I think, be released.
I wish I had his quote, but he said something like Russia would be helping the United States in a spiritual way, and that's all I remember.
I think I remember. Listen, I think that there was definitely some talk about working together, that they're going to work together,
right?
And I think that's exactly what was spoken about. And the hope for the world, I think it was about the hope for the world. Right. I think that's going to be happening. That's what I think. I think much of it was going to be the hope for the world is what he talked about. That was back in the 30s, I think, in the 40s when he first started, 1930s. Very interesting. I think every country, of course, has karmic obligations,
right.
Certain lessons that we have learned from each other.
Right.
And I think that I think Russia is one. I think about healing. I think.
Right.
America is a lot of karmic about religion. I think China is a lesson about isolationism. I think India is about internalization of knowledge and awareness. So I think every country has the certain type of karma or lessons that we would learn.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's just fascinating. How did you ever start? I mean, you started at Paramount and you started getting these messages, and then you decided to do readings for people, and everything just kind of took off from there.
Yes, I like I said, I didn't really have a necessary belief system with psychic phenomena or mediumship. I didn't. It wasn't something that I really knew about. But I will say, going back to that first reading I had with this man Brian Hirst, I guess I had a fascination about. Psychic phenomena. There used to be a wonderful bookstore in L.A., in Los Angeles, called the Bodhi Tree Bookstore, which was the perfect, the number one metaphysical bookstore before there were any metaphysical bookstores. And I found before I was working at, well, right before I worked at Paramount, I used to go there on the weekends because there were so many different subjects in this bookstore. That, and I would sit there in the bookstore, just take a book and you could read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
cool.
Fascinating. And I would do that every weekend.
Wow.
And they had everything from alternative healing to channeling.
Mm-hmm.
The Seth material was big then.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I first found out about Dolores Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, that was the place. So there was a sense that I had an interest in this arena. I just liked something that was guiding me to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I see Brian Hirst, the medium, and he said that I'm going to be doing mediumship and I was going to change the consciousness, I didn't believe it. But he said certain things in his reading about my family members that had passed over,
mm-hmm.
that were very right on, very specific, detailed
wow.
information
wow.
that no one could have known. So
wow.
I knew there was some truth to this.
Wow.
So it got my curiosity up and
mm-hmm.
my fascination about it. So
mm-hmm.
I went back to the Bodhi tree, and I read as many books as I could on life after death,
beautiful.
On mediumship, on channeling,
mm-hmm.
like phenomena. That's when I first became very aware of the Casey information then.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just started doing meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did meditation just to have self-awareness, focus
mm-hmm.
on self, to become aware of my spiritual self. And that was the only reason. And I started doing it, and it's just my own way, where I used the breath. I involved the breath. And I have a purifying mm-hmm. breath and letting go of fear with the exhalation. And then using a visualization like a rose and or in colors, just doing it my own way. And within, I'd say, the first 3 weeks, I started, I started seeing spirits as
wow.
I did as a child. I'd
uh-huh.
see them very, very clearly.
Wow.
And I'd see them objectively outside myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very clear with their what they were wearing,
mm-hmm.
the physical traits. And
mm-hmm.
and then I said, oh, I remember this. When I was a little boy, I could
mm-hmm.
see spirits around.
Beautiful.
And I didn't try to do anything about it, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I just
mm-hmm.
went around my normal life, not telling
sure.
anybody.
Sure.
And working at the studio, Paramount Studio, one of the first experiences I had was a coworker was in the next cubicle over.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in after lunch about 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back to her cubicle, and her dead grandmother was standing behind her. And
oh
I looked
goodness.
And I could see the dead grandmother extremely clearly.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And the dead grandmother looked right at me,
uh-huh.
didn't say a word, but telepathically
uh-huh.
said, I'm her grandmother. I lived in Idaho, state of Idaho. This is my granddaughter. Tell her about the footstool, the stitchery, the yellow house with white shutters. And I said, okay. So I said to this girl, her name was Jo Dallas, and I said,
uh-huh.
can I ask you, would you mind if I ask you, there's a lady next to you. And I knew that this girl, Jo Dallas, would be okay because she was
mm-hmm.
talking about astrology, so this
mm-hmm.
should be a little open-minded to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her about these details this lady was telling me, and Jo Dallas said, wow, that's my grandmother. She says, my grandmother, everything you said makes sense. She used to live in Idaho, a
oh.
yellow house, white shutters. She
beautiful.
Taught me how to do needle points. We made a footstool cover together before she died.
Uh-huh.
And as we're making that, she said to me, when I go to heaven, I'll come back and let you know that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
So
beautiful.
That was the beginning. And I really was kind of shocked because
mm-hmm.
it all made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran out of the studio, and I went back home to my apartment, and I didn't know what to do. I was kind of freaking out because it didn't make sense. How was I going to live the rest of my life in this way?
Sure.
So I didn't know who to call. I
mm-hmm.
thought they all think I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up
mm-hmm.
calling that man, Brian Hirst, the medium
oh, yeah.
who made the prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, James, don't you remember the spirit people's, what they said to you, what they told you was going to happen, the prediction that you were going to help to change the consciousness of the planet through
right.
your mediumship.
Right. Right.
I said, yes, I do. I do.
Right.
He said, James, that was 2 years ago today.
Wow. Beautiful.
So, yeah,
wow.
that was that.
That's
and that was
amazing.
The beginning. Really, that was 35 years ago now.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you had visions of what's going to happen in the future and then it comes to pass?
Oh, well, many times.
Okay.
Many, many times. Some things that I'm able, as most psychic people,
right.
there are certain insights or visions you'll have, which,
right.
you know, one of the difficult things of being psychic
mm-hmm.
is having a vision of something and you can't stop it because it's going to happen.
Right.
And I remember one of the first visions I had was the space shuttle disaster, when the first one blew up.
Wow.
And I was literally ironing a shirt for getting ready for work,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that I was getting ready to take off the shuttle, and the next thing I saw was a vision of exploding.
Oh, my goodness.
And it happened about 15 minutes later.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, and I've had visions of, I've had visions many times of natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
I've had visions of plane crashes. I've had visions of
right.
people's deaths.
Wow.
I've had, it's one of those things that you know, you have to be open to certain things.
Right.
And they're going to happen. Sometimes it's meant to. So, you know, we never know. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Do you see anything? Oh, no, I asked you about the future and you hadn't. Yeah.
I just know, all I know is, and Edgar Casey as well, is about the territorial changes, I guess you could say, of the countries this year.
Uh-huh.
There'll be some border lines and there'll be some I don't know, countries would own or possess another country, or not a big scale, but that's what I see, is changing borders.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. I also think there'll be a new way of capital, new way of using money, not necessarily paper money, but a different type of money, different type of value, if you will.
There's,
of course,
there's a system.
You've heard that too, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I've heard a couple of things. There is a new bank in Bangladesh that helps poor people, and they lend out money to help people start in businesses, and it's been extremely successful, and they haven't had any failures at all. That's one new way I know. There's also been talk of a currency reevaluation, but I don't know anything about it, to be honest. But maybe what you're talking about is a reevaluation, not using money so much, but people's energy and volunteer work. I don't know.
It could be that.
Yeah.
It could very well be that. It could be that. It's just a different way of putting value on things, I think it's going to
be. Sure. Right.
Yeah. Interesting, Ted. I meant to ask you, and in your area, well, Mount Shasta, so it's south of you, but there's a wonderful healer you remind me a lot of. He's a wonderful healer by the name of Michael Tamura. And he's a lovely clairvoyant healer, and he works really well with. He's very committed to spiritual growth and insights, and he uses Christ Force healing many times, and he'll be able to see around the person clairvoyantly. He sees the various situations, if you will, karmically, of their karmic patterns, and he'll be able to see those and tell you who the karmic pattern is with. Their names, the details about them, and how they will affect your life in this lifetime, how they affect it in other lifetimes, and in this lifetime. And he's someone that you definitely should know about if you don't, Michael Tamura. So he's in Mount Shasta, and you remind me very much of him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Professor Einstein said that there's God doesn't play with dice, and there's no such thing as coincidence, because I actually had lunch with him.
Did you?
Yeah,
back in the
end of October, Michiko Hayashi and I were giving presentations for the Immortal Peace Project, and we gave one in Shasta, and he was, it's funny how this goes. There was a guy named Walter Simcoe. Do you know him?
Simcoe? I don't think so.
He's done a lot of work in, he's a medical doctor, but he's done a lot of work in spirit research, in how people reincarnate. They look the same. They often are the same wonderful man, and Michael's a friend of his, so we linked up and had a great lunch with him. And I think, you know what, I was going to ask him on my program. I've got a slot opening at the end of the month, and I think I'll ask him on. That's a good idea.
I think you should.
Thank you.
I'll be speaking to him later. I'll mention it.
Great. Yeah, tell him that Ted says hi, and I'd love to have him on January. It's the last... January 27th from 3 to 4 p.m.
Okay. I'll ask him. Yep.
Yeah, that would be a good time to have him on. Wonderful man.
Wonderful man. Wonderful healer. Lovely. He's one of the first healers I ever met. And I walked into, he was doing, again, this was over 30 years ago, and it was at LAX airport. He was at a hotel there.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine for a long time wanted me to see his healer, Michael Tamura. And I said, I will do that eventually. And I always kind of put it off. I never got around to it. And then eventually, probably the fourth time, someone else mentioned his name. And I went to see him. I made a session, and I knocked on the door. He answered it. He opened the door. And he looked at me, and he didn't know who I was then. He didn't know anything about me. And he looked at me and said, oh, thank goodness. It's always great for a healer to work on a healer.
How funny.
And it was a connection. It was just like with you, this awareness, if you will, this alignment that you, that sense of being around the same type of vibration.
Well,
you feel comfortable.
I remember he told me he used to work at a laboratory at the UC Berkeley, at a psychic lab there. It's very interesting.
Yes, he created the Berkeley Psychic Institute.
That's right.
He's one of the ones that helped create that. That's exactly right.
That's right. And I think when I'm next time in the Bay Area, I should go definitely go check it out. I went to school at Berkeley, so I back then I didn't have any information about this, but now I do. It'd be fun to go there. Yeah, it'd be fun to go there. Well, thank you for telling me about him. I went to Shasta. I took some people there in September, and six of my group from Korea actually went into Telos and Shambhala at Shasta, went into the Hollow Earth.
Wow.
When I wasn't with them at the time. They'd been meditating for like 3 years to get in, and they were vegetarians and very high spiritually. And so we dropped them off there on a Monday in the morning and came back in the afternoon, couldn't find them. Suddenly they just appeared out of the rocks. And they said, guess where we've been? Telos. And they said, yeah, they did. They had children with them, and the kids were young. They were, oh my goodness, they must have been 8 or 9, and they became kind of panicky. They would have stayed longer if they were concerned about the kids. But they're very high vibration, and they went in and came out again. And the people of the Hollow Earth, I think, are very interested in helping us out here on the surface.
Very true.
You know, one of the things that I've been told by the people of the Hollow Earth is that when things like Fukushima happen, James, you know, the atmosphere gets polluted from radiation. Well, because the people of the Hollow Earth get their air from the North and South Poles from our atmosphere, so that pollution can go down into their civilization and say, hey, wait a minute. You can't do this.
Right.
You can't
right.
destroy the planet. So they're helping now. I've been told that they are actually cleaning up. They and the Galactic Alliance are cleaning up the radiation around Fukushima and across the Pacific.
Yes, I believe that.
Which is wonderful. You know, I don't think we could do it on our own. But they also said that for us to say prayers, a lot of prayers, to send love and light to Fukushima and ask them for their help. So I try to do that as much as I can on my radio show too. So.
It's true. It's again that vibration of love, the power of love. It can do anything. It can transcend anything, transmute anything, any energy from the past, down to the physical molecules, down to the molecules. I mean, it can change that. So it can bring healing, prayers, positive messages, inspiration, meditation. That positive, loving energy can do miracles. Can create. It's miracles. It's that God force energy.
Well, on that note, James, I would love, if possible, to say a quick prayer for Fukushima, if we may.
Beautiful.
Okay, it's based on the Ho'oponopono, and I hope I've pronounced that correctly.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thanks. It's Dr. Masuramoto's old prayer, and it goes something like this, and everyone could say it around the world 3 times and send lots of love and light to the people of Fukushima. It goes something like this: Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. And we'll do it 2 more times. Water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. And finally, water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. It's a beautiful prayer. And I want to thank the Moto Office, Moto Peace Project, Michiko Hayashi, and all the wonderful people there at the office for teaching me about this prayer, which is, I try to say it as much as I can for Fukushima, because they do need the help. But it does help. It does help clean up the radiation. And the Galactics have been coming in and cleaning up the radiation so that the whole planet's not poisoned.
It's true. The Galactics are all around us. It's so interesting. When you open up your mind to that space, you begin to become more aware of them. And people say, well, what is it like? I say, well, it's an energy. I mean, it's more, if you can, frequency of energy.
Right.
But you'll see that you'll become more aware of them. So it's true, the Galactics. It's interesting. I'll be walking into a space, and I'm very aware they're around me. Also, they come into that space, and they're just around me. And it's just energetically,
beautiful.
It's as if a light shines on you.
Beautiful.
And it's really interesting. It's talk about an interesting energy, and it's a vibration which is very fast, very quick. So it's almost like you're stepping into you take a step, and you all of a sudden you're pushed up to a higher level.
Beautiful.
Only way I could describe it.
Beautiful.
You know?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, James, we've got about 30 seconds left, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today. And I want
to thank you, Ted.
Yeah, I want to give you the rest of the time to say whatever you like to wrap up.
Everyone, if they wanted to join me, I have a Facebook page, James Van Prague. It's 500,000 people.
Oh, my goodness.
And I go in there and do Facebook Lives, and I'll be doing a lot of readings on there, too, and have a great community and have a great school, which is the JVP School of Mystical Arts.
Wonderful.
And I welcome everybody. So thank you, Ted. I appreciate it.
Wonderful, James. It's been so much fun having you on today, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Los Angeles in February.
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much.
All right, my
friend.
Bye-bye. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Please stay tuned for our next hour.